Side two. You remember I mentioned on the other side that many of the people, they're real sticklers for doctrines and creeds and articles of faith. But when it really comes down to it, most of them don't believe their own articles, and they preach actually contrary to what their articles of faith have to say. If you remember, Jonathan Edwards was a Presbyterian. He believed that those men that were damned to hell were condemned to hell by God before the foundation of the world. And yet he had the audacity to preach to them a message of choose ye this day. Well, the people in his congregation had no choice. They were either predestined to hell or predestined to heaven. And for those who, according to his doctrine, were predestined to hell, what a horrible, horrible, horrible thing to do to those people, to dangle them over the fire as a sadist, a masochist would, knowing that there's absolutely nothing that they can do to change the event, since God already predestined them to hell. A person that would preach this kind of a message has got to be a fiend. And in my opinion, that's exactly what Jonathan Edwards and John Calvin were. Fiends. Demons speaking, not the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 9, we find Jesus going through Samaria. And the Samaritans, which were kind of half-breed Jews, the Samaritans rejected Jesus Christ. And John and James were angry. And they said in verse 54, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And therefore, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. People, I encourage you, before you read, listen to the rest of this tape, to take a look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, and to beg of God that you grasp a hold of this particular scripture. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. You can't know what the perfect and acceptable will of God is until the mind is renewed. Not born again, not born from above, not speaking in tongues, not gifts of the Holy Spirit, but you will not know what the perfect will of God is until the renewal of the mind. Most Christians today do not know the work of God, the Word of God, or the will of God. They don't know the end of God's work, the end of His plan. If they knew the beginning from the end, they would shut up and stop saying some of the stupid things that I've heard in church after church after church. And why do they say these stupid things? Because they haven't allowed their mind to be renewed. I beg you, those of you that are still listening to this tape, please stop right now and get on your knees and ask God, please, to renew your mind, to bring forth and to reveal God's hidden purposes, God's plan for His creation. I'm going to, for the remainder of this tape, put together a series of scriptures, many of which you probably have never heard before. They're in your Bible, whether it's a Protestant Bible, a Catholic Bible, a Greek Orthodox Bible, one of these modern Bibles put out by strictly for charismatics that believe in the gifts and have little symbols there to make sure that you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and that you speak in tongues and all the other stuff. I don't care which Bible it is. These scriptures are in every one of the Bibles. All I'm going to be giving for the next few moments here are a series of scriptures. After the scriptures, at the end of the tape, I'll give you the scripture references so that you can look them up. In addition to these few dozen scriptures that I have here, I have dozens and dozens more just like them. I just don't have enough tape to put them all together. Write for more information about this particular subject. I assure you, more than likely, you've never heard a message like this one. Why? Because this message here is 100% Bible. And this message here will only be received by a mind that's renewed. I'm going to begin in Ephesians. From here on in, I'm not going to mention any more references. I'll put all the references at the end. I want this to come across as a message and not as a series of scriptures. I want it to come across as a conversation. First one will be Ephesians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. I have food to eat, of which you do not know. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 to go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, who is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will dare to die. But God, demonstrating his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. It is finished. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things on earth and things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For what makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. All those who go down to the dust, death, shall bow before you. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigns through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Christ Jesus? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. When I bring back their captives, the captives of Sodom and her daughters, and the captives of Samaria and her daughters, then I will also bring back the captives of your captivity among them. When your daughters Sodom and her daughters return to their former estate, then you and your daughters will return to your former estate. There is no other God besides me, a just God and Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, to that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. And in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for a people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he shall destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. How awesome are your works! Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And if anyone's works which he has built endures, he shall receive a reward. But if anyone's works is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. He himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Well, there you have it. 100% scripture that reveals God's will, his work, his word, and his ways. Paul summed it up in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. For 1900 years, the church has not preached Paul's gospel. They preached the gospel of the circumcision, a mixture of grace and some kind of law. Pure grace was preached by one apostle and one apostle only, the one who received his gospel not from Jesus after the flesh, but Jesus after the Spirit. Paul was the only apostle who received a direct revelation out in Arabia, and he received things that were hard to understand, according to Peter. He was the one that was to take a message to the Gentiles. And he suffered much reproach. And those who preach his gospel, a gospel of pure grace, will suffer much reproach even this day. He preached one thing, Christ crucified. It is finished. Jonathan Edwards and everyone who preaches his kind of message does not preach Christ crucified for everyone. He preaches a message, Christ crucified, for some. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 through 11, it says he is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. That scripture clearly divides the church and all men, and yet he's the Savior of both groups. You can't be a Savior of someone unless you actually save them. A lifeguard out on the beach is a lifeguard, but he's not the Savior of anyone unless he, in fact, actually accomplishes the act of saving someone. Jesus Christ is not the Savior of the whole world unless he saves the whole world. If he misses that one sheep and gets the 99, and there's one that he can't, because he's not strong enough, or because my will is stronger than his will, or because Satan is stronger than he is, if he does not save the whole world, he's not the Savior of the whole world. My Bible tells me he's the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. And Paul warned that if you preach his gospel, the gospel of pure grace, Christ crucified plus nothing else, you will suffer reproach. You will receive severe persecution. You will have people come into your place and accuse you of being a heretic. In the book of Acts, Paul says, I preach after the manner that they call heresy. The modern translations call it after the way of they call a sect. But that word there, I believe in the 14th chapter of, or 21st chapter of Acts, that word is the word heresy. Paul called himself a heretic. Paul put himself in the camp of the Moses, the David, the John the Baptist, the Elijahs, the minority. It was always the minority of God's people who had the true image of who God actually was. When Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago, he was the exact image of the invisible God. And the vast majority of the Bible students, the doctors of divinity, the prophets, the preachers, the teachers, didn't recognize him. Why? Because through their interpretation of the scriptures, They added to the word, subtracted from the word, and came up with an image of God like themselves. Today, the church, whether it's Roman Catholic, Protestant, Charismatic, Pentecostal, has a Jesus Christ in the image of themselves. A Jesus Christ who says one thing and then does another. He tells you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, and in that way you're pouring hot coals on their head. But he will torture and torment his enemies forever. He says he's all-powerful, all-knowing, knowing the beginning from the end. And yet, in the end, the vast majority of creation is doomed to hell. He couldn't save those. Man's will and Satan's power was too strong. And yet he says he's all-powerful, all-knowing. That gospel is the gospel of the Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Protestant, Pentecostal, Charismatic Church. And it's a false gospel. It's a mixture of law and grace. It's not Paul's gospel. Paul said that he was a man born out of season. I believe he was 1900 years too early. There is coming a people in this hour who will take Paul's gospel again and preach pure grace. The cross of Jesus Christ, the shed blood for all men, they will preach, it is finished. The work of God, the will of God, the word of God, and the ways of God all come to what Jesus Christ did on the tree, or the stake, or the cross, or wherever you believe he was crucified. Nevertheless, it was his work and not ours that provided for the salvation and the return of fallen Adam back to God. We have many tapes on this subject that will open up your mind and renew your mind to the wonderful, wonderful works of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you who are hungry, this tape should have stimulated many questions. And for those of you who have a true desire to learn and to grow, there are answers. Some of you will listen to this tape, and you're not looking for answers. You're just looking for statements and messages that just agree with what you've already been taught. We have nothing for you. You have no place to grow. You will be as stale and stagnant 10 years from now as you are now. Jesus Christ came to reveal God. He said to the disciples, I have more to say, but you can't bear it now. God is so big that we can only take a piece of him at a time. And for those of you who are hungry, and who are casting off the old wineskins for new wine, write us, we believe we have a lot of new wine. The scriptures that I just quoted, I'm going to give in order right now as I presented them on the tape. And then I have a number that I didn't put on the tape because I just didn't have enough time. There are dozens and dozens of scriptures that prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Now I know a message like that for those of you who are hired at 9 o'clock in the morning, at 12 o'clock, you don't like that message. You don't like the message that person who was hired at the end of the day receives the same amount that you do. I know that some of you don't like the message that Jesus, when he started to build the house, that he is able to finish the house absolutely complete with nothing left over to burn in the lake of fire. that what he started with is exactly what he's going to end up with. There's a law of thermodynamics that says you can't add or create energy. What you have is what you have. What you start with is what you finish with. And Jesus proved out that law of thermodynamics. As many as were in Adam that were lost will be that many in Adam that will be saved. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all died, A-L-L, every single one of them, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22, or 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the whole message is an excellent one. I encourage you to read that whole chapter again and again and again. Now here are the scriptures that were put together on this message. I encourage you, please, people, write them down. I'm going to do it slow enough where you can write it down. There are dozens of them. And look these up. And ask God, as you look these scriptures up, to allow these scriptures, this Word of God, to renew your mind, to enlarge your image of how big God is. Here we go. Luke 9:54-57. The first number will be the chapter number, and then the other two will be the verses. If there are more than one verse, there'll be two numbers. If there's only one verse, there'll just be one number. 1 Corinthians 4:5-7. Romans 12:1-2. Ephesians 1:10-11. Matthew 4:32-34. Psalm 145:14-16. Matthew 18:11-14. Romans 5:7-8. 1 Timothy 2:3-6. Colossians 3:21. John 6:33. John 8:29. John 5:30. John 17:2. John 3:35. John 12:32. Luke 23:34. John 19:30. Hebrews 2:9. Colossians 1:19-21-22. 1 Timothy 4:9-11. 1 John 2:2. 1 John 4:14. Hebrews 7:25. John 3:35. A repeat. John 3:17. Philippians 2:10-11. John 12:47. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Psalm 72:18-19. 2 Peter 3:9. 1 Corinthians 4:5-7. Psalm 145:8-10. Psalm 22:27-29. Romans 5:17-19. Ezekiel 16:53. The whole chapter of Ezekiel 16 is an excellent chapter. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21 through 25. Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. The one prior to that, in case I misread it, it's Isaiah 45, verses 21 through 25. Psalm 66, verse 3. Revelation 5, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Now here's a list of some that I didn't record, but are also in the same light. I just didn't have enough tape. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 6. Revelation 15, verse 4. Psalm 24, verse 1. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. John chapter 4, verse 42. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Matthew 12, verse 7. Jeremiah 32, verses 33 through 35. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Isaiah 52, verse 10. Isaiah 40, verse 5. Psalm 86, verse 9. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Romans 11, verse 36. Romans 11, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 28. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Psalm chapter 138, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 24. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 31. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 54, verse 5.
Well, that's the list of the scriptures that I have. There are many, many more like it. I want you to know that those of you who look up these scriptures and allow them to go into your mind and into your heart, that if you walk this gospel out, you will suffer reproach. Paul had Judaizers, Christians who had a mixture of law and grace, saved by grace and then kept by do's and don'ts. And these Judaizers, these people, followed Paul wherever he went and caused him much grief and much suffering. If you embrace the gospel of grace, it is finished. Jesus Christ, Savior of all men. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw, that word draw in the Greek is drag, all men unto myself. If you preach this gospel, you will be persecuted, not by the world, not by Pontius Pilate, but by those who claim the name of Jesus Christ, by Christians who are in sects, denominations, divisions, cults, who preach not Paul's gospel, They preach the gospel of the circumcision. Some grace, some law, and not everyone will make it. God started to build, and he had some leftovers that he had to burn in the lake of fire. That gospel and that mentality, that spirit that, like John and James, says, Lord, do you want us to bring fire down from heaven and consume them? That spirit will come against you. If you preach what Jesus said, you do not know what spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come down to condemn the world, but to save the world. Our address is Tentmaker, HCR, Box 6D as in David, Herman, Missouri, 65041. Our telephone number is 314-486-3825. We send out these tapes and all literature on the principle found in Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. May you come to know our wonderful, wonderful Savior, Lord and King, Jesus Christ, in a greater and greater way. As you look up these scriptures and allow your mind to be renewed, that you may truly see the beginning from the end and discover God's will, God's work, God's way, and God's word in Jesus Christ.